好吃。
Hello and welcome back to your weekly edition of Tuesday with the Taskmaster. I'm Paul Bromwell, and I'm joined once again by the devil himself, Kevin Sullivan. Kevin, how are you?
I'm fine, Paul. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing good, Kevin, and you and I are sitting down together. This is now the Saturday before this drops on December the 19th, and I wanted to mention right here at the top, guys, if you're listening to this, Kevin and I are planning to record the next two Saturdays. So he and I are going to sit down together on Saturday the 23rd and Saturday, December 30th. That way we can avoid all the holidays and Christmas Eves, New Year's Eves, and the Christmas days and New Year's days. So I say that to say, if you have questions or comments when you listen to the show, if you could put them in as soon as possible, and we'll make sure we get those included. If not, I'll go back and check at a prior post and make sure I capture those as well. But all that to say, it's a busy time of the year, a lot going on, but we are committed to bringing you Tuesday with the Taskmaster. And Kevin, you and I were just talking, still every single week, there's always sound bites, things to talk about with you in the world of wrestling. And as soon as we were done recording last Monday, we signed off, went and watched Monday Night Raw. Here comes CM Punk. He decides he's going to sign with WWE Raw, Monday Night Raw. And not only that, Seth Rollins' music hits. We see this intense face off. I'm talking, it was intense. You're like clinging to every word as a fan between the two. Punk said, I'm headed into the Rumble, and you got to believe it's just building. And I'm hoping it's for a Mania main event, but man, they're running right into this, this face off between these two. And I'm excited about it.
I am too. I had a kind of drifted off. I was watching YouTube last night. I was kind of going from one subject to another, not paying really a bit of attention. And all I thought is all the stuff I've seen in my lifetime, how much it's changed. When I broke in, there was 37 companies. 37 companies. And then we're running the same town every week. And then on top of that, I said to myself, they took a tape and bicycled it around, sent it, you know, from Tampa to Jacksonville to Miami, you know, went around. So if you're involved in an angle, before it even encompassed the whole territory just about, unless you're on a semi-cable system, it took 6 weeks anyway. So you say to yourself, why do people, this is what I said, why do people get so involved into it? It's because of content on TV.
Yeah.
Last night was the first time I really watched a bunch of TV, and I said, there's nothing on. They're looking for any kind of excitement. And because of that, they're getting premium bucks. These guys, I'm not knocking them at all, but they don't have to work 7 days a week, twice on Saturdays, twice on Sundays. You know, it gets to be a joke when Hogan says, I work 400 times a year. Right, which we all know is possible, but it's true. That's how much he was.
Yeah. Well, to your point, TV rights and TV rights fees for live sports, live entertainment has changed the world. it's changed, you know, for financially for these guys that are doing it. Like you said, they can work less and make more than ever before, man. It's incredible.
I don't want to speak out of school, but I think I read that the first few ads sold for the Super Bowl number one was $25,000.
That sounds about right.
Think about that. Huh?
That what would that buy now? Nothing? Maybe 10 seconds.
They can't buy you a car.
Above the commercial? Yeah, exactly. It's a joke.
Yeah.
Well, hey, not only it's incredible to see what's happening and, you know, that episodic TV that WWE continues to just have that niche of delivering and the cliffhangers. I was thinking about, man, there's a lot of eyes on wrestling right now and what's working and what's not working for wit and the companies it's working with and the companies it's not, whether you're WWE and everything that seems to be going right. AEW seems to be a lot of online, what's not working for them. As far as that episodic piece, driving to the episodes week after week. We love the great wrestling. Pay-per-views best ever. Those one-time event where you're going to sit down and watch stellar wrestling. But what's going to drive me to watch something episodically every week? Bring me back. Bring me back. Bring me back. And I think, you know, a lot of fans are complaining about that missing ingredient. When it comes to AEW, and I certainly hope again for the business that we can get it figured out. But man, WWE right now, with what they have going on, Rumble season, WrestleMania, man, I'm really excited. And Randy Orton came out last night and challenged Roman Reigns for his championship at the Royal Rumble. So you're going to go ahead and get that at Rumble, which again leaves Roman open for Cody at Mania. You know, if they so choose.
And how much further can they go to keep your interest before it just wanes after a day, you know?
That's on the creative team, buddy. They got to keep it going, you know, before season 50, whatever this is in wrestling. Yeah. But that's that. And to me, that is the most unheralded job, is keeping all the stuff interesting. How do you keep it interesting show after show, week after week, and keep us coming back for more? That's a lot of work, man. No one knows that like you. You used to do it for Nitro all the time.
Think about this. As soon as you put down the pencil and get up and go to the men's room and come back out and sit back down, you're back working. You're back working.
I believe it. How did you stay refreshed and revived and keep your mind sharp back then when it was so much pressure to continue to deliver?
I think it was because of where I lived. I lived in the Keys, and I would go out in the boat, just drift around, you know?
And just let it, and just clear your, keep your head clear constantly.
Try to, yeah.
Oh my God, because it's got to be intense. I can't, and that's why when you hear the stories of, oh, they're up till 2 a.m. or Vince holds calls at 5 a.m. or 4 a.m. It's a frantic, insane pace to be able to keep up with it, man. I don't know. I have so much respect for the folks that are behind the scenes that are doing that. And then what about then? Maybe you write a story or an angle, or whatever, and then you see online, oh, it just got shit all over all this. I mean, it's the thankless job, man.
And then it becomes just like you said, you put all these hours in, and you did a 3-5 the week before, and you really followed the menu in front of you. You put the right enough pepper and salt in, and even threw a little spice that you
worked into your recipe. I love it.
And you come back Tuesday afternoons, because that's where you come in. And It went from a 3-5 to a 3-1. You wanted to shoot yourself.
It was that was enough to make you be like, oh shit, 3-5 to 3-1, and I'm sick.
Then I'd say to myself, how do they really do this? Is this really done?
How's this sustainable?
Is this just bullshit? Is someone pulling this shit out of their ass?
Right. It makes you question everything.
I mean, you talk about the conspiracy theory shit. You can really get into some conspiracy theory shit.
I bet. Well, listen, a couple other news nuggets, and then we'll get into the questions. Kenny Omega out indefinitely with diverticulitis.
Sorry to hear that.
Man, I know. And then, because you just don't know, right? You just don't know when he's going to be well enough to come back with something like that. He tried to fight long enough, but it got to the point where I think he said on social, doctors told him, hey, you got in here just when you were supposed to. And then last night on SmackDown, Charlotte Flair out for 9 months because of that nasty knee injury last Friday on SmackDown. Devastating. She's going to miss Mania season. She just kind of posted the heartbroken symbol. Just got really stinks. Timing's terrible, but anytime you have to go through that injury, you know, you got to go through the hard work to come back. We're certainly going to miss her and Kenny both, man. Just two big stars within a day. You find out that news, kind of crazy.
You know, I don't want to say back in my day, right?
You can say it. You earned that. You earned the ability to do that.
But back in my day, there was none of that stuff happening. I don't know if it was because you had to work. Do you know what I mean? Could you imagine walking into, we'll say, Vern Gagne and telling him, well, I'm going to be out for 9 months. You think he's going to pay you?
Do you think guys just worked, but you had a lot more guys working injured, though, back in those days?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They were all crippled up. They kept to themselves. I mean, they were, that's why they're limping around now that when they're my age, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
They're all crippled, their elbows, their knees.
You see guys in wheelchairs,
shoulders.
Yeah.
And then what I find, it sneaks up on you. One day you're okay. This is exactly how it is. One day you're okay, absolutely fine, you're magnificent. You're walking by the mirror, you're looking sideways at yourself, and then something happens. You can't raise your hands over your head anymore. It hurts so bad. What the hell happened here? I was a constant trying to lift heavy weights, bad spots, taking bad bumps, landing on the concrete. Remember this? Concrete.
Oh, man. I don't know how you guys did that.
Concrete. I never wore a knee pad in my life.
Looking back at it now, do you wish you did or still glad you didn't?
Yeah, I wish I had.
Yes. Yeah. See? Well, let's get into some of the questions, and this is all good stuff. Adam Krasnov kicks us off again. A lot of thanks to guys that we are seeing names repeated every single week. He said, I don't think, Kevin, it was ever explained why Ed Leslie's character was named Zodiac. Was the name Zodiac a reference to the 1960 serial killer?
I think it was because he was out there.
He was just an out there kind of guy.
Out there kind of guy, they gave it to him. And I think it was kind of indicated at that, but I think that was Hogan came up with the name. That was his rib.
Okay.
Brutus. I think that was his own personal rib to Hogan, from Hogan to him.
He said, he also said, back in your younger days when you had a full head of hair and thick beard, did anybody out in public ever mistake you for George Carlin?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah, people did. You're absolutely right. People did. I guess there's some kind of Irish.
There's definitely a resemblance, man. I can totally see it. Adam's right.
I guess there's some kind of Irish blood that runs through all of us Irishmen. Huh?
Right, there you go. The Irish look.
Yeah.
He finishes up. He said, how would you have booked New Jack if he came to WCW during the mid to late 90s?
Put a military squad around them.
Right. Yeah.
And hired the Effley Belly to be the lawyer. There you got to go get in trouble. I liked him.
He yes.
A friend of mine. But,
standards and practices would have been shit in their pants seeing New Jack walk in.
You could have attempted that, in my view. I mean, we got away with a lot of shit that we shouldn't have. I mean, we got away with a lot of things that never should have happened. And because of that, I'm surprised. Let's look back that this was a flower. And as a flower usually starts, I'm kind of into gardening a little. When flowers first start, they usually are the weakest. They are, right?
Yeah.
What causes that?
Well, they haven't matured yet. They're still on their floor.
And they're attacked by bugs that they're not used to, all kinds of stuff.
Okay, yeah.
And all of a sudden, they're being attacked daily. And that's what causes it. And I'm surprised we didn't have more incidents than we did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He, and you watched his Dark Side of the Ring, New Jack's?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was good. Especially for those people that weren't familiar with him. What he did with Smoky Mountain was just intense. And I can't imagine bringing that kind of flavor to WCW. That would have been something else.
Or anywhere else.
Yeah.
I mean, crazy. Crazy. I mean, I think he was lucky in that Boston, the Transit Massacre.
Oh, yes.
I think he was very, very lucky there. I happen to like him as a person. Outside, him and I would laugh a lot. Because I'd say, I know you, Jack. I know this is all bullshit. You probably got 4 PhDs somewhere hanging on your wall. You got these other white boys snowed, but not me. I said, where is this coming from? But it was so intense. So intense.
That's the word. Let's move on. A wrestling historian. He says Starrcade 1995 is my favorite WCW pay-per-view of all time. It was also my introduction to New Japan Pro Wrestling. Whose idea was the best of 7 format? Thanks in advance.
Who's a baseball fan?
You are. Bingo.
You can have my fingerprints all over it.
There it is, Kevin Sullivan.
In the library with the candlestick.
There you go. So that was easy. That was Kevin Sullivan, a wrestling historian. He was all over that. So there it is. Matt S. is up next. He said, Lanny Poffo was said to have been under contract with WCW for a number of years without ever being used. Was it simply a case of him not being wanted and his deal was only there to keep Randy happy, or was there more to that?
That's one of those great mysteries in life of why the sun comes up in the morning. I'm not sure.
Do you remember seeing him around, Kevin?
I saw he came to one TV.
Okay.
It wasn't even a dark match. He was with some other guy, going to put them in a tag team. And it didn't work out at all. I think I saw him one other time, and I never saw him at a show that he worked ever, ever, ever. And that's a great mystery. I think he came along with Randy, you know, a lot of things people don't understand. Randy Savage, he got paid really middle of the road money because the younger guys were getting paid between $150,000 the younger ones. Randy was bringing a contract over that was worth over $500,000. And, you know, that's the Slim Jim one.
Yeah, the Slim Jim, yeah.
And other people's clickbait for other people. So all I can say is that Randy was such an important person way back then before wrestlers were doing heavy ads on TV like The Rock and all the guys doing
right. He started, I mean, he was like one of the first people to ever do something like that with a sponsor.
Right, right.
Yeah. So, hey, if he was there, if Lanny was there and under contract, it was probably one of those, Randy, we're gonna take care of you. We honor and respect you. We love having you on the team. And if you want Lanny to be here, he'll be here. And whether we saw Lanny on TV or not, I guess we didn't, but he was part of the company there for a little while. So,
right. And here's the thing. Randy was not a bad worker. Randy was pretty, pretty solid worker. I saw him work quite a bit. He was a fabulous, fabulous worker.
Are you talking about Randy or Lanny?
Lanny.
Yeah, that's okay. I just want to make sure I clarify.
Lanny was a solid, solid worker. Very nice guy. Very nice guy. You know, sometimes, and you got Randy Savage with this whole package. You got Randy Savage, one of the greatest performers of all times. One of the biggest names of all time. That's what you got. So no matter what happened in that deal, you had to make that deal.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Eric did a wonderful job doing it.
Kevin, Jeff, still not the Titans coach, Fisher says, Mr. Sullivan, how would you book the following dream matches? So let's start with the first one. He says, Wendy Richter versus Charlotte Flair.
I don't want to sound like I'm in the past completely, but what the Queen does now is phenomenal.
Yeah.
When you talk about some of the greatest workers of all times, back in my day, when we're talking about Ray Stevens and Nick Bockwinkel and Hulk Hogan and all those guys, you'd have to put her right in there.
Yeah. Charlotte's transcended women's wrestling. I mean, she's helped take it to another level with what she can do.
Completely.
Yeah. Completely. She's doing freaking off the top rope outside of the ring, you know, moonsaults. I mean, she is just incredible.
I mean, you talk about a real athlete. I mean, you know, we talk about, people talk about the salaries of pro wrestlers. If it ever came down that there was a few companies that were solid like Vince and Tony Khan, they'd be paying $12-17 million for a girl like Charlotte.
Yeah, she's like the number one draft pick.
Right.
Yeah. So her and Wendy Richter, I think what you're saying is it's almost, you know, we'd think a dream match because it's like a legendary women's wrestler, maybe from our childhood, competing against a Charlotte Flair. Once they got in the ring, it's going to be a little bit of a difference in just compared to how she's elevated the game, Charlotte. But what kind of story you think you would book there between those two if it was modern day?
You'd have to book. To me, the only way you could do it is, which one's the greatest of all times?
Okay.
This is the, you know, the story that makes sense. The greatest of all times. What can she do?
The battle of the best ever.
And what can Wendy do to keep the title of the best ever? What can she do?
Yeah.
That's a great question. That's a great question.
Here's another one, his final one. And he says, by the way, thank you guys. I continue to enjoy the show. His other one, now this is for you too, because this is a tag team from back in your era, the Tolos Brothers. Okay, you remember them?
Yeah.
Versus the Road Warriors. How would you book that dream match?
I have a special fondness for the Road Warriors.
Yeah.
To me, there was nobody better. You know, I worked with them. How'd you like this job? They hire me, call me in. We over the phone, we discuss my qualities, what they're going to pay me, how many times I have to be in the office, can I work outside the office at all, blah, blah, blah. How long? We finally get it settled down. I accept the job, quit another booking job, go back to Florida, get there. And then when I get there on Monday, because I booked the Saturday show, the infamous one where Luger climbed out of the cage, they said to me, oh, you need to draw $100,000 next week or we're out of business.
My goodness.
How do you feel taking on that responsibility that if you can't draw $100,000, we're out of business? Oh, failed to mention that to you, sonny boy, you know, and it turned out that it worked out. Those guys were really good guys. Sometimes when they came in and worked with you, this is when they're traveling all over and they came in and worked with you, and so many things came by that when you went in to give a finish to the Road Warriors, hopefully they hadn't been fighting with each other all the way down, that they had a switchblade fight that Paul Ehrling had to stop in the first 15 minutes of the ride, and it went off neatly. Other than that, it was tough. There were just, and the thing they used to say, the Road Warrior pop, and there was a Road Warrior pop. It was a pop I've never heard before or since when they came out.
It's insane.
You heard it.
Oh, yeah. Hey, so in my mind, then, that means they would probably, if you're booking the show, go over on the Tolos brothers.
Yeah.
So,
but
are they your favorite? Did you see Undertaker recently came out and said it's top four tag teams of all times?
No, what do you say?
Who he said, let me watch me screw this up, but I believe it was Arn and Tully, the Midnight Express, the Rock and Roll Express, and I believe the Road Warriors. Now I'm going to have to test, but what do you think about that list?
Can't go wrong. Can't go wrong. It's terrific.
What would you say your top four tag teams are?
And those four would be it. And it can be, it doesn't have to be in any order of those four tag teams, man. Work. And don't forget.
It was them. Yep, I just verified.
Okay.
Yeah, those were, it's all Jim Crockett, baby. All Jim Crockett tag teams, which I love.
All Dusty Rhodes.
Whoo! There you go.
All
Dusty. I mean, they obviously wrestled prior to Jim Crockett. We're in Mid-South, you know, right. Midnights and Rock and Roll. But still, that's where the popularity on national TV for me as a kid was able to watch them was because of Crockett and Dusty.
Right.
Such a good era. And then, let's bring in the Steiners, and then let's bring in, and then, you know, it just continued with the rest. Here comes Doom. Yeah. The Freebirds, the Varsity Club. Let's just keep building this Hall of Fame caliber lineup. So good. Craig Usher, Mr. Sullivan, what is one of your favorite stories / angles the Army of Darkness was involved in at Championship Wrestling from Florida?
Got a favorite? The Patty angle, when that was the first time, I believe, that kayfabe was broken. She was precious. She's your precious, but she's my Patty, you know?
Yes.
That was like, whoa, what did he just say?
Yeah, what is happening here?
Come on, kids. Let's go in and listen to Uncle Kev. I'm going to tell you a story. You know, you're going to hear the behind-the-scenes things.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm sure that must have woke up some of the people dramatically.
Good stuff, man. Dylan is up next, and he wants to talk a little bit of baseball. But before he gets there, he says, Mr. Sullivan and Paulie B, I hope you're all gearing up for a great Christmas and New Year's holiday. Buddy, we can't wait. Mr. Sullivan, if MJF was to go to the WWE, who would be his first big program?
I don't see anybody they wanted to bring in. They're on a winning streak now. That's unbelievable. I mean, everybody that they put them with works. They're on one of these can't lose hot streaks. They can put their money. Hey, Paul, it's a joke. Let's put $1,000 on Buster Douglas tonight, okay? It works, you know. Whatever they're doing is working. I mean, they're fabulous what they're doing. I thought about him. He is not going to be the be-all to end-all because of just what you said. All the people in front of him, all the great
performers, the talent that's already there.
I mean, if he was off of TV for 2 weeks, would that many people forget about it? After the third week he was off of TV, would they be demanding that he be on TV again? I mean, they're so stacked.
You would start to have the conversation, okay, who is now getting lost in the shuffle? Because somebody is. It's just going to happen. I know you have tons of TV time, but unless you have, I don't know, the genius of all geniuses booking this, like I've never seen booking a show before, someone's going to miss out on time. Someone's not going to get that 100% creative energy that others are. It's just going to happen, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
But I mean, I tell you what, I'd love to, if he did come in, maybe just the first one to warm him up, throw him against the Miz. That's who everybody used to compare him to with some of his, the way he used to act about them, you know, with the Miz, and just have them go verbal shots with each other and the comparison bullshit that some people have done online. I don't know, just as a startup feud, but I don't know, headliner. He's proven, MJF, that he can go toe-to-toe and wrestle Iron Man matches, put on great matches in AEW, but he's also the mic skill. So you want to see him go up against someone that can stand toe-to-toe with him on the mic. And so, I don't know. It'd be fun, dude. Like you said, there's so much freaking talent in WWE right now.
Yeah. There's so much talent in the wrestling business.
Right? Yeah, you're right. Just everywhere.
I mean, Miro, he is the talent of talents, yet we don't hear from
him. Who, Miro, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I love Miro. I'm a huge Miro fan. The nicest guy, too. We got to have him on Kurt's show, and he was so cool. That people like that stand out, like when you meet, because I'm, you know, we're just little hosts, little nobodies or whatever, but you can tell how people treat and talk to you and look at you. And man, he was one of those guys that was like salt of the earth, friendly. And you just can't help but cheer for guys like that. And he's talented and he's built and it seems like he has all the intangibles. So big fan of him and his work. Let's get to the baseball question, Kevin. He said, I know you're an avid baseball fan. So a few baseball questions, if that's okay. Who is your favorite Red Sox player of all time? And I think, can I guess like one or two? Yastrzemski or David Ortiz?
David Ortiz.
Okay, David Ortiz. I know. You like Big Poppy. Go ahead.
We didn't have a World Series title when I was a kid
Okay, so there's that puts Big Poppy over the top.
But the greatest 2 weeks I ever saw in my life, all around, fielding, catching. Yastrzemski, they had to win the last two games. You know about it, right?
I remember you sharing this before.
He went 7 for 8.
That's incredible.
8 RBIs, and they won both games. They had a win, or they were eliminated.
Talk about big time, someone who's not going to wilt under the pressure.
You're not kidding.
Yeah. He wants to know what you think of Ohtani's $700 million contract and the Dodgers deferring the money until the bulk of the contract is over with. Thanks, guys. I love the show, and happy holidays to you both. By the way, as you think about your answer, I want to read this to you. I'm going to put on the cheaters so I can make sure. All-time record, $700 million. This also includes a personal translator, a suite at Dodger Stadium. 1% of his salary will be going to a LA Dodgers charity, and he can opt out if certain executives leave the Dodgers organization. So there you go.
He may be the greatest ball player I have ever seen. I mean, I've been a baseball fan since I think I've been 5 years old.
Since you were in diapers.
Yeah, and cloth diapers too. he's fabulous. That 1-2 of him and Mike Trout, that was like, for me, Freddie Lynn and Jim Rice. You know what I mean?
Yeah, talent-wise.
There had to be something in baseball. Let's throw it out there. Let's ask people this question. Don't you think there had to be something out there? Jim Rice played, 13 seasons and hit 317 home runs and then never could get a job after the fact. Never got a job.
Just because he didn't hit the specific tiers that people recognize, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But talented, talented guy. Oh, yeah.
Question. But Ohtani...
Ohtani's contract, what do you think? Yeah, you think that's smart? I mean, it's unlike anything we've ever seen before, first of all, money-wise, but just then deferring it all. It seems like a genius move by so many because now they can build around them.
I don't see how anybody can beat the Dodgers till he's gone for 5-8 years.
Right.
They
can stack it up, man.
They can stack it up forever.
Yeah. Hey, and he, good for him. He already, and the reason he could afford that, Kevin, is because he already makes, I think they said well over 40 some million dollars a year in endorsement deals alone. You talk about generational wealth. I mean, this guy, he's rewriting the books from an athletic, from an athlete's perspective.
Yeah, he sure is. He sure is. And he obviously is a very smart guy.
Yeah, smart people around him for sure.
And that's what I was going to say next. He has got some people to his father, somebody's uncle, somebody has gone out and hired a team to encircle him like a cobra that he doesn't get nipped at all, that he looks as safe as a
He's perfect.
A buddy. This guy is going
He's perfectly insulated.
Perfectly insulated.
Yeah. Good stuff. Jason Tepper, why do you think Barbara Clary, and by the way, you know, I had looked her up, and I remember her from Starrcade when she interviewed Dusty, because, again, didn't get to watch a lot of Florida from where I was. But why do you think she never received any notoriety for her work in CWF? So she was she did commentating and interviewing alongside Gordon Solie. Is that right?
That's right. And she was way ahead of her time. If Barbara came along 5 years later, she'd been on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Mm. She was fabulous.
She just did a fantastic job.
She was something.
She was a pioneer, if you think about it, now that you say it that way. If she was that good, but there wasn't a lot of women covering wrestling back in those days, if any.
Can you explain this to me? Name me one woman wrestling announcer.
Commentator, yeah. Well, again, all I can think about now is the last several years, whether it's Renee or, you know, folks like that that are doing it now in today's world. But back in those days, you always thought Mean Gene Okerlund, Bobby, Lord Alfred Hayes, Vince McMahon doing commentary, Tony Schiavone, and no, I can't tell you any women. I mean, yeah, Leroy McGurk, who would do some ring announcing a little bit in the 80s or whatever for WWF, but I'm talking announcing, like commentary. Who was Joe Pedicino's? Was that Bonnie?
Bonnie, yeah.
I forget her name, but that was on a little bit of a smaller scale regionally.
Yeah. Weren't they married too?
Yeah, they were married, yeah. But to your point, it was rare, if at all.
If at all, is the if at all.
She was the only one then, and so I just never really parlayed into anything for her. But
and the thing that Barbara had up on anybody else at the time was she was bilingual.
Oh wow, that's good.
Especially in, you know, Florida, she did.
Yeah, big time important.
In Spanish, she was great, fabulous.
Bryant Haremza has a series of questions, and he's going to wrap us up this week. We're going to watch a clip. Appreciate you, Bryant. He says, "I've been looking into championship wrestling from Florida. Buddy Colt is on commentary with Gordon Solie a lot. Can you tell us who Buddy Colt is and how he was as a wrestler?"
Buddy Colt was one of the greatest heels of all times. You could put him and bring him in with the hottest heel of his generation, and without a doubt, Buddy would end up being the heel. Buddy just was, he could do it all too. He could wrestle as a wrestling heel. He could wrestle as a brawler. He could wrestle as a killer heel. He could wrestle any way you needed him to wrestle. He was absolutely fabulous. He drew a lot of money. At the end, he was in a plane wreck that took Bobby Shane's life. He went by the Tampa Bay airport, had to land in Lakeland. And when he tried to land in Lakeland, he went by the runway, turned this way, looked to the left, and the wing hit the left-hand side, flipped the plane, split it in half. Buddy was crippled instantly. Gary Hart was crippled for a long time, but Buddy was crippled instantly. Could never even hardly walk again. I use a prosthetic, and Bobby Shane drowned.
Yeah, my goodness.
Yeah.
He, Brian, thank you for sharing that. Brian goes on. He said, when it comes to your Prince of Darkness gimmick in Florida, what was your inspiration to do it? And was there any pushback to doing it on TV?
We did it when Eddie was out of the country. Might have got some pushback, probably would have too, if Eddie was in the country. But by that time, when he came into the country, Eddie was we would draw our money. That was the main thing. And the thing that was so different about it, it was so one-sided. It was like people came to the wrestling matches. There wasn't like 20% clap for me. There was 1% clapping for me. And it was such an ultimate evil against the ultimate babyface, who was Dusty. And we could do so many angles with Dusty. And it worked big time.
Yeah, to perfection. It sounds like it was awesome. We're going to close the show this week, Kevin, watching a clip from 1991. Again, our friend at Wrestling Rabbit Hole was able to share a clip with me, and it's a brawl from you and Terry Funk. We might have talked about it a few weeks ago, but I actually have the clip now, and there's no commentary. So you and I are going to watch it. I'm going to mute it. It's not the entire clip. It's about a 3.5-minute highlight reel of this brawl between the two of you, and then we'll talk about it. Now, Brian has some questions that he wants to ask, but are you ready to check this out?
Yes, I am.
All right, here we go. So as I said, we're going to leave it muted, but Jim, looks like Jim Molyneux is the referee from ECW.
Yeah.
And, but you guys really are just all over the place. And this one ends up in a no contest. There's a non-finish. I think it's just a brawl everywhere and it gets thrown out, but you can see the physical violence. Look at you. This is the Kevin Sullivan that I remember right here, man. You were intimidating, scary. Look how muscular you are and thick. Were you a power lifter?
Yeah. I've been a bodybuilder first, and then I became a power lifter. Yeah.
God. But this is you and Terry, man. When I'm watching this, you know, I can't help but think about the style of like what we just saw with the Swerve and Hangman match outside. I guess no staple guns, but you're grabbing hammers. You just grabbed a hammer from somebody in the crowd. Now, again, this is a highlight reel, so it's just picking up stuff from throughout the match, but you just grabbed another. What is that, a hammer again?
I think so, yeah.
And now you got the ring bell, but it's crazy. So a couple questions from Ryan. He says, when putting a brawl together and going through the crowd, is there a fine line between what you want to do and what can hurt or affect the crowd? So how do you kind of, when you're going through the audience, I guess you got to worry about, are they going to get involved? Are they going to, you know, somehow, or do you worry about that when putting this type of thing together?
No.
You could give two shits about the crowd, right?
If they're going to get the way, it's their own fault. This was ECW at its finest or worst, whatever you want to call it. But it was, Terry was so good. Terry.
Look at this. Pile driver, baby, on the floor.
Yeah.
Oh.
Terry was so hot. Yeah.
He said, when putting a match like this together, how much is improvised and how much do you plan out ahead of time? It looks like it's all improvised.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, how can you?
Now he's putting a woman in the spinning toe hold.
And Terry was special. I mean, Terry did, he was doing moonsaults at 53 years old. Terry was, up until the day he died, he was incredible.
So there's no, this is 100% improvisation. Call it as in the ring, as they say. We're just going out and just going to go chaotic in, out of the ring, back to the food stands. It doesn't matter. It's all just being called.
Right.
And look at the fans getting in your face and saying stuff. Were you ever tempted just to slap someone silly?
Yeah. Every night, just about. But with Terry, it was completely different. Because with Terry, he brought up something personal. He really did. Yeah.
And he said, how excited, Bryant said, was woman to get involved and take the spinning toe hold? Did she mind any of that stuff, or was she all for her doing that?
It was all for her, yeah.
Yeah. Well, buddy, that's it, man. That's all that we have this week. We're at the top of the hour, and again, a lot of great questions. Thank you, Bryant, for referencing the clip. That was a lot of fun. But, man, that's going to do it for this week's Tuesday with the Taskmaster. Again, a few reminders before we get out of here. You can check out Kevin on Twitter and on Instagram at Real Kev Sullivan. And then also want to make sure that you're supporting the show at Taskmaster Tees. I'm wearing one of the sweatshirts now that you can check out over there. And so make sure that you do check it out. You can see on the screen if you're watching on YouTube, TaskmasterTees.com. They have a variety of shirts and hoodies and things like that over there that you can take advantage of. And then also it's cameo season. A lot of people getting cameos for their loved ones and their relatives, whether you celebrate Hanukkah, Christmas, whatever, New Year's, whatever the holidays are, check it out. What's that?
Festus.
Festus. There you go. cameo.com/TaskmasterKS. And Kevin would be more than happy to put a cameo video together for you. Kevin, this was a lot of fun. Me and you next Saturday, same time. How's that sound?
Sounds wonderful, my friend.
All right. So listen, it's on all you guys. Give us some good topics and things to talk about. You do a great job each and every week. On behalf of the Taskmaster, Kevin Sullivan, this is Paul Bromwell, and we'll see you right back here next Tuesday on another edition of Tuesday with the Taskmaster.